The Guardian.
I know the setup of Womadan. I think probably, if not one, definitely one of the most comfortable festivals for musicians.
I just put the look lights on, and tell me if any of these guys look like terrorists, a potential terrorist.
Since it feels like the real world is very much like a big family.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Guardian's Music Weekly podcast. We are broadcasting live in the backstage area at WOMAD, not just any WOMAD, but the 30th anniversary of the legendary World Music Festival. With me, as ever, is Kieran Yates. Hello, Kieran.
Hello.
And Ruth Barnes. Hello.
Hello.
So how's it going? Are we enjoying us? Are we having fun yet?
I always have fun at WOMAD. I'm one of these kind of nerdy WOMAD people who's been coming for about 10 years on the trot. So it's been a great weekend. The sun was shining until today, and now we're freezing.
I know,
so that's
it's really, nice. it's a bit grey and overcast. In contrast to Ruth, Kieran, you are a WOMAD neophyte.
As am I, actually. I am, yes. I was saying earlier, it's quite strange coming somewhere where you have no reference point for a lot of the music that you're seeing. You know, there's a lot of bits and bobs that I'm familiar with, but on the whole, it's all very new. But it's been amazing. It's a voyage of discovery, Alexis.
I think that's a really good thing about it, actually, is that unless you're sort of a world music head, which I'm not, and certainly you're not, it actually imposes on you a slightly different way of processing a festival than normal, because normally you sort of go, oh well, I want to see X, Y, Z, you know, these bands I really like and whatever, and you have a schedule, you know, have a vague based around that. With this, it isn't. I mean, it genuinely is kind of a bit of a voyage of discovery. You do just have to amble about and see what takes your fancy and see what clicks with you and what doesn't. Ruth, what has clicked with you?
Well, it's been quite an interesting one. Talking about ambling about, it was Friday night and I ambled past the Siam tent, which is kind of the second main tent, I suppose, here at the festival. And there was just the most insane light show that I've ever seen going on inside. If you can imagine, like, you know those kind of collector's boxes that people put up on the wall? What are they called? Where people put thimbles in them and stuff like that.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Collector's trays or whatever they are. So they'd kind of, there was an enormous one on the stage filled with kind of little tiny musicians as they looked to me from the back of the crowd, each with these kind of incredible array of instruments. And it was going absolutely crazy. And I've never seen a WOMAD crowd actually react to something like that. And like you say, it's one of those ones that if you saw it on the program, you'd be like, the Manganiar Seduction with Royston Abel. No idea. But hey, let's check it out. And it completely blew my mind. And I think it was this kind of, every time that the musician played, their little box of light that had little kind of light bulbs going around the edge would light up, and then it would switch off again when they stopped. And it was just it was an eyeful, it was an earful. The crowd were going insane. It blew my mind. I only caught about the last 10 minutes of it. It was absolutely insane. And a nice thing about another thing to highlight about WOMAD is just how important it is for the musicians to play here, because it's an absolute pain in the backside to get visas for a lot of them to come and play here. And Royston Abel, who was conducting the kind of whatever it was that was happening on the stage on Friday night, actually went on a bit of a rant about how difficult it was to get their visas and just how important it was for them to hear it.
We have a clip of said rant. Shall we have a listen?
Thank you very much. My name is Royston Abel and I'm the director of the show. You know, we get to travel a lot and we travel all over the world and we get very excited when someone invites us. But then the trouble starts when we start applying for our visas. Yeah, you know, we've got a company of 40 Muslim musicians. And they all have surname as Khan. And guess what? We went to the United States twice this last year. Held up for 8 hours, 9 hours. I just put the lights on and tell me if any of these guys look like terrorists, a potential threat.
That's Royston Abel there discussing some of the very specific challenges I think that face artists coming to WOMAD? You see a lot of stuff about so-and-so couldn't play because he couldn't get a visa and this, that and the other. Which
one of the best picks, actually, one of my picks of the weekend was Spook Mutombo, who's this fantastic South African kind of rapper and DJ who couldn't sort out his visa, all went pear-shaped, so he didn't play, which is a real shame.
Kieran, what has blown your mind?
Well, on the Friday night, there was a great DJ set by Magabo, a kind of sort of Brazilian type thing that was happening. It was that thrilling dance aesthetic of a man and his laptop, and I was kind of going there and I was expecting to kind of see some nice indigenous instruments, a big band, but no, of course I was drawn to the big beats. Sobrevivente no suor e na raça, além da alienação, além dessa trapaça, o povo com saúde e educação é uma ameaça aos donos do poder. But yeah, that was really great, and that was kind of lots of kind of Latino influences. And usually when I like my Brazilian funk, I like that DJ Marlborough stuff, which is really, you know, kind of very hard, very kind of, you know, booty shaking. But this was kind of a little bit muted with all the Latino inflections, and yeah, it was really great. And then last night in the red tent, which is kind of the dance tent, there was this band called Batida. Batida were this Angolan Portuguese outfit, and they had these amazing dancers on stage, and they were throwing whistles out, and there was this mix between a kind of carnival and tribal rave type thing. So there's lots of great dancing and sort of that kind of thing where you get in that kind of dance tent, where there's all these amazing samples, and then there's kind of, you know, the older people on the outskirts saying, oh yes, this is from Fela Kuti's first album, or, you know, these really obscure world music samples and kind of dance references. So it's quite nice to get educated while we're dancing.
You don't, but saying that, you know, you're expecting more indigenous instruments. This is a festival where anybody wants for the sound of a djembe, is it? Everywhere I turn, it's almost impossible to a few steps without encountering an African drum workshop. I've never seen. There's a national shortage of African drums. They're all here.
Relentless drumming.
There is actually a thing, if you go in the you know, the festival guide for people coming, it has, you know, sort of camping and da-da-da, you know, a little bit about it. And the last one is drumming. And it's basically like, don't drum, don't take, you know, WOMAD is known as a drumming festival, but don't take your drum into like a camping area or you will be evicted. Clearly somebody, you know, in years gone by has been decided to inflict the rhythms of the world on people at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, people's tolerance for that, for the, you know, the talking drum. Amazing. So it's been an intriguing event. It's also a very different festival, I think, in terms of the sort of people who are here.
Yeah.
In the demographic is either really young, by which I mean sort of teenagers, 14, 15, 16 year old teenagers, probably at the first festival, that kind of thing, and older. People, even older than me, remarkably. I know, difficult to imagine. And that sort of middle, I suppose the demographic that makes a festival like Glastonbury, which is sort of 18 to 30, whatever, 35, isn't really here, which is quite an interesting thing. Gives it quite a different atmosphere, I find.
Well, I think so. Magabo on Friday night was just all kind of the local Wiltshire 14, 15-year-old kids just complete. I mean, their minds were blown. I think it's fair to say these children had like a musical awakening. But I'm quite glad that demographic's not here. Like, I'm just a bit over those festivals where everyone's there.
Fuck them.
I really like, I guess I'm probably in that demographic. Well, I'm 33, I guess, so I'm just out of it. So maybe that's why I just don't want to see like marauding hordes of like dudes. There was a marauding horde of people in cow outfits yesterday, but that was Prince Harry's entourage backstage.
Yes, we should point out, I don't know if this has been widely broadcast elsewhere in the media. I arrived in the backstage bit about 8 o'clock last night to be confronted by scenes of, you know, mass excitement. I got to the Guardian Portico and everyone was going, Prince Harry is over there wearing a hat in the shape of a duck. And I sort of ambled over there and couldn't see Prince Harry with a hat in the shape of a duck and thought, oh, you know, clearly some hilarious practical joke is being played upon me here. No, people had camera phone footage. Apparently he turned up later.
Yeah.
Everybody saw Prince Harry except me. Amazing. Did he look like he was enjoying himself?
Well, he's just a prince having a good time, holding court with all his mates in cow outfits, you know. But what did my head in about them, and I have to have my quick rant about this, is they brought their own boombox to a music festival, to WOMAD, and they were playing kind of like ironic kind of classics and a couple of like Ibiza rave hits.
What ironic classics were they playing?
Oh, there was at one point, there was something that sounded like opera. It was probably like Elizabeth Schwarzkopf or whatever, you know, I don't know what it was, but it was distorting out of the speaker, and they were kind of falling all over each other, balancing pims on each other's heads and having a hilarious time. And I just thought, you're at WOMAD, go away. Go and hire another field in Wiltshire to have your bender. Don't do it here.
In fairness, I suppose you could say it is fairly near his dad's, isn't it? Because I mean, Highgrove is just, if you're going to go to the festival, it's just on the doorstep of his dad's house. So, you know, that's perfect. It is quite good. You saw them as well, Kieran. Were they balancing pims on each other's heads?
Well, I thought that he was kind of with an entourage of security guards that were dressed up, kind of going incognito as festival goers. Kind of, yeah, you know, where they were kind of wearing, you know, very clean Wellingtons and all that kind of thing. So I was like, are you a real friend or are you on security right now? But yeah, you're right. They were just kind of, you know, having hijinks. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, let's move on from Prince Harry, who is not the point of WOMAD. WOMAD is, of course, all about the music. We're going to give you a little burst, a little sample of one of the sessions that we've recorded in video form. And this, you can find it elsewhere on the website. This is a bit of Seth Lakeman.
To sleep without a sound. It's so hard without the smoke, with those fingers round my throat. So hard it was to lay my body down. So hard without the smoke, with those fingers round my throat.
So that's Seth Lakeman there, a clip of him performing live. You can find the entirety of his session in video form elsewhere on the Guardian website, guardian.co.uk/music. So Seth Lakeman, obviously a British folk artiste. We should have some world music. We have got some world music. Kieran, you met the South African band Hot Water yesterday.
Yeah, they were amazing. They've got a huge audience in South Africa, so they're really big. And what they do is they kind of are merging the more traditional township music.
Jive?
Is it still
right to call it Township Jive? Township, is that a politically incorrect term?
I don't know.
Though?
I think that's a bit outdated, yeah. Maybe. Township
he did describe
jive.
It as Jive. He called it Jive on stage last night. Yeah.
And they were kind of talking about, you know, using those classic forms and modernising it slightly, and they were having a little bit of a dance. I think your daughter was enjoying the dancing.
Both my daughters were enjoying the dancing, yeah.
So I had a little chat with them about performing over here and township music.
My name is Donovan Copley, and I'm from Cape Town with the band Hot Water, and this is my very special left wing in the band.
Yeah, Dutu is my name. I'm a left wing, as he said. I'm also a dancer. I do township dance. Yeah.
I loved that dancing before. It looked amazing, and then you were all dancing together in a circle. Tell me a little bit about that.
If you see the show later on, we quite do some moves together. That was not it. I did a little bit of move. That was a township, it's a mix-up dance. We do it in schools and stuff because I'm the young one in the band, so probably I bring the fresh dances to
the
band.
It's quite a modern township dance. It's called the chicken.
Yeah.
What you see it going into the sort of chicken moves. It's called the chicken, yeah. So it's quite a sort of humorous dance, yeah.
And is that a good representation of your sound, kind of trying to move into the more modern township influences with the more traditional stuff?
I think the whole point of the sound is really a balance and a center point. So the center point means drawing on the old school and drawing on the new school. So and Tutu really represents the drawing on the new school in the band. And Vuyo on drums is really very much from the old school. He's the oldest. He really is very rooted in the old school African rhythms. So there's an interesting balance that happens with that. But that's been my intention sort of as holding the center of the band and project is really to find that balance. So that's reflected in the musicians that I've eventually ended up with.
Yeah. And in the instruments as well, because that's quite an interesting thing you've got there. Is it an oil container or something? Kind of make.
Yeah, it's an old Kestrel 5-litre tin oil can. And these were made traditionally in the townships as a cheap way to make a cheap and a quick way to make a guitar. The can is the body of the guitar, and you cut a hole and you put a plank on as the neck of the guitar, put some strings, and you have actually a very effective instrument. So this really represents what we're talking about with the old and the new, because it's old school, but yeah. You can see this is an electric guitar version. It's simple, but it's an electric guitar, so it's a modern version of a sort of old school guitar. So
and presumably a lot lighter, so you can travel around with it.
It is quite a lot lighter. I've had different versions of it along over the years. I had a really heavy one where we weighted it, and it would give us trouble when you're traveling every time internationally. They're like, "What is in that? What is this thing that you've got?" You know, take it out and play it for people. You know, do a little concert, and then you kind of get through customs. So yeah, this one's lighter. It's fun to play because I think as a guitarist, the shape and feel of the guitar also changes the way you play it. It's a subtle thing, but it's just got so much fun in it. And I think that's also what the music is. Yeah. It's a celebrationary sound, I think you probably heard. South African music is just the rhythm and the root of the music is just celebrationary.
Yeah. Karen talking to Hot Water there. Ruth, you are aware of the work of Hot Water. You are from a South African background yourself.
Yes, I am. I'm aware of them. Well, it's a long time since I've lived there, but I'm aware that they're kind of huge there. Mm. But it is really interesting that they've kind of done something that was only ever done in quite a sort of cheesy way before. Like, they've taken Johnny Clegg and Savuka and what he did and just made it a bit kind of cool, really. It's essentially what they've done, It's brought it to the 21st century.
It's interesting, this is the first time I've ever played in Britain. The guy was saying on stage last night that they tour a lot around Europe. He said, but they've never played Britain, which seems, kind of an odd thing. But I guess there's more of an appetite for it or something elsewhere in Europe.
Yeah, and it could even be that it's easier. It's just it's very expensive for bands to tour here. You know, it's really cheap to tour Europe. It's cheap to go and play some kind of little venues in Berlin and stuff. And coming to the UK, especially London, it costs you a fortune. If you don't have the financial backing, it's really difficult.
Mm. I thought they were great on stage because him as a front man, he's quite rock and roll, isn't he?
He's
very
quite rock and roll.
He's
yes.
very cool, and that coupled with this drumming and the more sort of indigenous sounds worked really well. And that amazing instrument he has, which is kind of like an oil canister or an oil container, isn't
it's like
it?
Like Kestrel GTX.
Kind of makeshift guitar. It was really really great to watch.
That's fantastic. So from one interview to another, this is amazing. It's a very interview heavy edition of Music Weekly, but there's a lot of different kinds of music to get in. Ruth, you met Anna Brun.
Yes, I'm one of the most incredible stages at WOMAD is Taste the World, which is where they get artists from around the site to come and cook a meal and then play live in front of an audience. Then the audience gets to taste the meal. So, of course, at a festival like WOMAD, where you've got bands from all over the world, you get to kind of taste some interesting things. So Anna Brun was there, and she was making this dish that her father taught her how to make, which is kind of based on salted fish, potato, tomatoes, lots of oil. A glass and a half of oil went into this dish, which made me feel a bit ill. But there you go. And tasted it though, and it tasted absolutely lovely. But Anna Brun is obviously someone who she played here on Friday, and what a reception. And a point to make about the WOMAD audience very briefly is that, and Patrick Wolf made it when he was on stage on Saturday, is that people really listen. It's not the kind of festival where you're kind of, there are pint glasses of wee being hurled over the audience.
Very true.
It's, and he said, he actually at one point stopped and said, "Thank you for listening. I'm not used to this." And Anna Brun said exactly the same thing. She just said, the audience are just really there with their ears, like massive on the side of their head, and they're going to go and buy music. And it's quite a special thing. So I caught up with Anna Brun at the Taste of the World stage, where she had literally just made this traditional Norwegian dish. She'd performed a few tracks as well acoustically, which were absolutely stunning, and we talked about her working with Peter Gabriel.
Welcome to the last of our Taste the World sessions for today, and it promises to be something very magical indeed. I don't know how many of you know Anna Brun's music. Were you just listening to okay? So let's hear it from Norway for Anna Brun.
Anna Brun, hello, lovely to meet you. Well done, that was fantastic.
Thank you.
I've had the kind of rather surreal experience of having seen you play to a huge crowd on one of the main stages on WOMAD. and then whip us all up some kind of beautiful Norwegian traditional fare. So well done. You must be exhausted, though. How has your first WOMAD festival been?
Intense. I got up like 5 in the morning in Sweden this morning, and then we flew here, and then we played the gig, and now did this cooking, and now so it's pretty intense. But I know sometimes when you know you have the day off the day after, it's fine. Then you know you'll be fine. So I'm fine.
In the program, I thought it said something quite interesting. A hushed reception from a hushed audience was kind of what people could expect. Yeah. And that is so not what happened out there. I mean, people were up on their feet. And at the Siam tent, for people who know WOMAD, that doesn't happen. People are usually lying on picnic blankets. They're half asleep. You know, it's very relaxed. People were up on their feet. It was a wonderful reception. I mean, really quite emotional, I thought.
I'm glad to hear that. It was, if you listen to my old, like older albums, you would think it would be a hushed experience, I guess. But my new album is very powerful, and we try to do the live set at least as powerful as the album. So
it's interesting because you spoke just before about the fact that you write in English, but you've also started writing in Norwegian, in this very specific dialect of where you grew up. But you live in Stockholm, so there's quite a lot going on bleeding into what's happening with you.
I guess the Norwegian thing is kind of like, because I write in English because of how it sounds. I like the sound of English as a musical language. It's really soft and open somehow. Of course, and it also has all the reference to all the music history and everything. But in Norwegian, I've had troubles finding that musicality in it, just because I didn't think of singing like the most natural way for me. And when I started hearing, I've lived abroad for so many years, and all of a sudden I started hearing Norwegian as more of a sound than a language. And I realized that particular dialect has a great musicality. And all of a sudden, it was really easy to write in my language, which I thought I wouldn't be able to do. Because if I have a little bit of a... I think that it's good not to be too... I don't know, lyrics for me is a lot of sound and also, of course, substance, but... there's a lot of sound in there, and it helps me also to become less intellectual when I write. And I think that's what happened. I kind of found a way around the intellectual way of writing poetry with the sound of the language.
We can't ignore the fact that you're also at Peter Gabriel's festival here at WOMAD, the 30th anniversary, and he saw you at a gig and invited you to play on a record. I mean, that doesn't happen to everybody.
No, that was a great surprise.
Tell us what happened.
Well, he saw me play in Norway a few years ago. And then when they were doing the New Blood tour with the album, and they didn't know it was going to be an album at the time, but the tour that started, they wanted a singer, extra singer, with Melanie Gabriel and another singer. And then they remembered me from that time as an alternative to that singer position. And contacted me, so that's how it kind of worked out. And I said I was very interested, and I went over to London, and we tried it, and it worked out. And I went on the tour, and we've done, I don't know, 45 gigs or something like that. So
that's quite an intense experience. What was your relationship with him at the end of that?
Oh, he's a very nice guy. He's easy to talk to and everything. So that is, I feel we're pals, you know, that kind of. I don't know what to say. He's a nice guy. He's a very nice, generous man, and. And of course his family and all the friends. It feels like the real world is very much like a big family. So when you get in there, you get to know a lot of people.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the salted fish.
Thank you.
Anna Brun there. It's interesting, isn't it? Because you tend to think of WOMAD, if you've never been, as a festival largely about African music. I mean, there is a perception that world music somehow translates to meaning African music. And in fact, you know, the variety of stuff on offer here I find really intriguing. I find the kind of choice of Western artists quite sort of intriguing. I'm quite interested to know what makes a Western artist WOMAD friendly? What makes Patrick Wolfe WOMAD friendly? What makes, you know what I mean? Robert Plant is obvious, he's worked with, you know, in the area of what you might listen to in world music quite a lot. But yeah, to people like Anna Brun, it adds to a genuine sense of sort of eclecticism. And I quite like the sort of sense that you never quite know what's going to happen next or what's going to come on next. Or, you know, particularly I don't, because I lost my programme on Friday. So I've literally been wandering around checking out the most random selection of stuff I think I've ever seen at a festival in my life. Having artists cook for you.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing? It suggests that the artists that appear at WOMAD are perhaps more urbane than your average rock and roll band, who I wouldn't trust to go to a takeaway for me.
Well, luckily there's a woman on hand called Hillary who looks a bit stressed out with an apron on, who's kind of in the background actually making the food. So making sure the artists don't kill the audience.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be terrible?
She's health and safety. You know, that's it there, right there.
That's amazing. So Kieran, you have caught up with a true legend, yep. Femi Kuti.
Yep, well, I saw his performance yesterday, which was completely mind-blowing, and the crowd was just absolutely loving it. It was one of the biggest kind of crowds that we've seen so far, and it was, yeah, absolutely amazing. And I caught up with him after he'd performed, and, you know, he wasn't really breaking a sweat. He was completely cool. He was just sitting with a packet of crisps, just chatting about...
A packet of crisps,
yeah. We're kind of, yeah.
Well, the English artists on Taste the World stage.
Yeah,
made
yeah,
him a crisp
exactly.
sandwich.
Yeah, and he was just sort of... discussing his kind of being at WOMAD, because he's performed quite a few times and he was saying that he absolutely loves it and the organisation was great. So I spoke to him about what it's like being a musician performing at WOMAD.
I think over 10 gigs with WOMAD now worldwide, Australia, Spain, America, in New Zealand. We've been practically everywhere with WOMAD. So, I mean... It's I know the setup of WOMAD, and it's very organized. It's very, I think probably, if not one, definitely one of the most comfortable festivals for musicians. They have done their homework very well. You arrive, they know what to do. They know everything, catering, everything is so, the stage, so professional that it's, you just, you have to love WOMAD. And the greatest thing is there's so many things happening from everywhere, China, Asia, Africa. I mean, you hear the most unexpected kind of sound at the most unexpected stage, on the most expected. So you never know. India, I mean, everything. I mean, traditional, cultural, everything is here.
Despite you being kind of part of a very high energy performance and doing quite a lot of tours, it doesn't seem like it's taken too much of a physical toll on you.
It is. I just don't show it. I mean, I've gotten used to not complaining. It's part of the more you complain, the more you put yourself down. People don't want, when you have been in it, I've been playing now for about 30 years. When you have been on the road so much, you know that every venue is expecting you to be fresh. The audience don't care that you have done 10 gigs in a row. They're expecting to, they believe this is your first gig and they expect you to be as fresh as you started the gig, your tour. So when you understand this, after doing so many tours in my life, you start to acclimatize and understand. And you know the disaster of doing a bad show, because you'll have done one or two on the road. And you know you feel really bad. And it troubles you all your life if you're not careful.
One of the things that I really love about you is that you've created your own identity and done Afrobeat in your own way. So how important was it for you to do Afrobeat but have your own voice?
That was very important, because I love my father's style and I loved playing his part when I was in his band. But I knew I did not want to do that all my life. I knew I wanted my family, I knew I wanted my kids, I knew I wanted my own... I wanted to feel my pain, I wanted to feel my success, so I knew I could never be him. And people, his fan base expected me to be him and take over him, and I didn't want that. So that was very complicated at the beginning. But I knew, and nobody wanted to listen to my kind of style. But then I was really accepted in Europe first. I think Europe gave me more of a break than at home. Europe saw my father, but they saw the freshness of my music. So I said to make more of a name here, and Europe like kind of forced people back home to accept me because I was now touring. I was having no gigs in Nigeria, and I was touring. So I said, he must be doing something good if he keeps going out of the country. He seems to be the only one living all the time. And we're like out of the country like 3 major tours a year.
And it's interesting that you say that because obviously inspired by your legacy, there's been a whole new generation of artists like DaBanj and Wizkid and Sarkodie that have had, that are having a lot of very good mainstream European success with a new kind of evolved state of Afrobeats. How do you feel about that?
People, I'm a great fan of many of them, Asha, Neka, DaBanj, Two-Face. And I mean, they're very, I mean, compared to me, they're young, but I mean, I just wish like, probably Asha, most of them would pick up musical instruments because it's very hard in the business to last decades without playing the musical instruments because we all have bad times in our careers. And now what is going to console you when things just change? And these things just happen, you just don't know. Everybody's talking about how great you are, then tomorrow nobody's talking and then you need to go and do another, you need to bring something new. If you don't play a musical instrument or something, then you just find you fade away. And that can be traumatizing, really. So I would love more of the young artists to pick up musical instruments just to save their careers for the long term.
Kieran there talking to Femi Kuti. What do we think the future of YML is? One of the things I find intriguing is that it's turned a profit, I think, or it's broken even 3 times in 30 years, which is amazing, really. What do you think the future of WOMAD holds?
The amazing thing about WOMAD is that it just gets bigger and better when other festivals just seem to be kind of falling by the wayside and kind of getting worse. So I went to WOMAD Abu Dhabi a couple of years ago, which was mind-bending in itself. And the fact that there are WOMADs all around the world, there's one in Adelaide next year, just seems like they're doing something right. And it just keeps getting better. And as long as they keep keeping that lineup eclectic, which I think it's done that this year.
No, definitely. No, I've really enjoyed it. Actually, I was, I came here with sort of mixed feeling, I think it's fair to say. And, you know, it has been, some of your prejudices are confirmed. I have seen men who are visibly from Basingstoke wandering around in kind of full African dress. And as I said, you know, if I never hear a talking drum again, as long as I live, you know, that'll be fine with me. But there's been, it's an incredibly good-natured festival. My kids have really enjoyed it, which is obviously vitally important to me, but not to anybody else. They can't put that on the literature. But no, it is a really intriguing, different kind of experience. Kieran, you've had a good time. You had some trepidation as well, it's fair.
Yeah, I've had a surprisingly good time. But I think that's because, like we were saying, all the kind of different areas are really well represented. So even with Indian music, I was like, well, you know, I'm sure that there'll be a dhol and, you know, a little bit of tabla playing. But actually, you know, like Raghu Dixit, who's kind of a microbiologist, and he performed, and it's so different to kind of the bhangra that's here, or kind of various other, you know, modern Indian forms, and then kind of, you know, even electronic stuff. So I think that there isn't this pigeonholed view of what African music is, or the Ukrainian section, and so, like, you know, we've listened to some Ukrainian music and we know what that's all about. Yeah. It's actually that they're really well represented and all the kind of difference as well. So I think for that reason, it's going to continue to grow.
I'm quite disappointed actually. Looking at this, we've a South African contributor here, and she's heard some South African music. We have an Indian contributor here. You've heard some Indian music.
Yeah.
Where's the Greeks? I've not heard. Where's the bouzoukis, man? Where's the bouzoukis? There's a great Greek food. I will say, the Greek food guy, brilliant, amazing. Grilled halloumi with sweet chilli sauce, traditional dish. Absolutely delicious. Well, there you go. That's WOMAD. Thank you all very much for tuning in. Thank you, Kieran Yates.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ruth. Thank you for coming along.
Cheers.
And offering your expert opinion. We'll be back. You and I are back from Bestival.
Yeah.
At the start of September. Until then, enjoy the rest of your summer. Take care. Bye-bye.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.